Thank you, Tansri Michael Yeo, and good afternoon, everybody. This is the session where you might be wanting to sleep, so we have to get you involved in some singing or dancing to keep you awake, but maybe later. It's wonderful to be here in Malacca, and thank you very much to the World Chinese Economic Summit, to ASLE, and to my dear friend Tansri Michael Yeo and colleagues for bringing together this global Chinese diaspora. I'm not Chinese in background, but I do spend a lot of time working with China and Chinese people throughout the world, and I think it's a very exciting development that we have the 8th year of this event. My focus is economic and strategic. It's not the next quarter, or not even the next year, but the next 5 to 10 years. But decisions taken now will have lasting consequences. Are we going to have new normal or slow growth? New possible of more sustainable and inclusive growth, or the worst scenario, economic nationalism, slowing growth and reducing trade? I want to read you a quote from now a very famous politician. The quote is this: "I've read hundreds of books about China over the decades. I know the Chinese. I have made a lot of money with the Chinese. I understand the Chinese mind." End of quote. Who has given us that quote? Donald J. Trump, the next president of the United States, in his book, The Art of the Deal. Well, I certainly hope that President Trump exercises that judgment and wisdom, such as that we heard from President Cecilia Bambang-Yudhoyono this morning, when he said the international order is suffering from a decrease in strategic trust. Asia is big enough for the US and China. We in ASEAN have to retain our resilience. We're in a good place. We have a dynamic market, and so on. Malacca is a great place to meet. You have a global story to play out here. And I'm working at the global level, as Tansri Michael mentioned, with the Global Foundation on global economic governance and also on integrating the region, integrating Australia, my country, and Asia together in a strategy we call Integrating Australasia. So China is the significant figure not only in our region but in the world as we go forward. We should get on with regional integration, and we would like Australia to be part of ASEAN going forward. I support free trade agreements for the region that do not exclude others. I was never a supporter of TPP that left China out. So these other agreements, I think, are to be encouraged. I hope that they will be realised. China and the world. I think we are at a big risk of de-globalising, of fragmenting of economic nationalism. We need better global governance and global cooperation. I call it cooperative globalisation. We need to lift ethical standards, and we need to change the balance of how nations work together in running the world. We've seen this with the so-called Washington Bretton Woods institutions, but we need to allow more space for emerging markets led by China. This is changing, but too slowly. I was very pleased 1 month ago to attend a Communist Party of China dialogue in Chongqing, China. The dialogue was CPC and the world on global economic governance. This was a very exciting meeting to be at. Here was China, the Communist Party, leading the agenda to talk about China, working with and encouraging greater cooperation on global economic governance. This follows from the very successful G20 Hangzhou summit that was hosted by President Xi Jinping. I thought to myself, just as the Western world, with Brexit, with now the Trump election, even in my own country and elsewhere, the challenges of deglobalization are very real. The challenges of fracturing, of stopping trade with each other are very real. Here is China leading the push to cooperate globally on economic governance. This is an historic moment. We are at a turning point in recent world history. China is back as a world player. And I think China is back, and I would encourage China to be back with an inclusive dialogue, not as a regional or global hegemon. And my confidence is, as I have been working with China for the past 20 years, that China is ready to play its role as a leader, as a cooperative actor with other nations in the world to make the world a more stable, secure, sustainable place. That leads me to the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank. 3 years ago in Jakarta, Indonesia, The President of China, Xi Jinping, announced that the bank would be established. I was in Bali, Indonesia, at APEC at the same time. I've been pleased and proud to work with China and its officials for the establishment of the AIIB, and as Tan Sri Michael mentioned, I'm now one of the international advisors to the President. This is the first time in recent history that China has chosen to lead in the formation and operation of a new global institution. The bank is very young, it has 57 member countries, it has nearly 30 other countries wishing to join, it has $100 billion in capital and the potential to borrow. It can have a powerful impact across the whole of Asia and beyond. My interest, coming from the private sector, is to encourage the AIIB and other institutions to assist the private sector that it doesn't just become another multilateral development bank funding government projects only. These are important, but we need to crowd in and support the private sector and its development. And what we are looking for at the AIIB is not just individual projects, clean, green and lean, but also systems of projects such as cities, green projects that can be replicated, developed in multiple countries. I encourage you to better understand the work of the AIIB through its website, and I encourage you to keep interested in the work of cooperative globalisation, for which the global Chinese diaspora gathered here is and can be such a powerful influence going forward. The time to hide your light is over. The time to lead has arrived. Thank you.
谢谢, 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 谢谢。